Welcome to the Internet Advisor Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Foster Brown. Along with my co-host, Gary Baker, and our team of experts, we've been helping people like you since 1998 with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources, and promoting tech enterprise throughout Michigan. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour podcast recorded every week at the studios of historic WJR Radio in Detroit. Both hours of the show are available each week on this podcast and are streamed to our affiliates across the state of Michigan. We're also proud to be part of Detroit's newest and fastest-growing podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. And now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to all the survivors of the merriment of July the 4th. Hi, this is Foster Brown, the co-host and producer of the program, along with Mr. Ed Rudell in studio and Captain Bly, is Mr. Gary Baker, aboard his good ship down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we make up the team here and the Internet Advisor. Today, we'll be talking about teen years. If that tweaks your interest, stick around. It's a combination of teens and seniors that I think you're going to enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown here for the first of 2 hours of our, call it the holiday program, because it continues to be a holiday that we're celebrating, a rather long one. Ed Rudell's in studio here.
You know, I had the whole week off and I can't think of that much that I accomplished. I did get several naps, which my wife was shocked at. I'm not the type of person to sit around. So when I take a nap, everyone tiptoes around the house.
So. Oh, I know. For you, it's funny. A day off or a week off is like...
it's hell.
I know. It's like punishment for you. Don't let your employers know that.
I have to keep busy. I know. You know, last year I had 2 weeks vacation left over.
No kidding.
I did not take it. Yeah.
Ed, I tell you, that's... Now,
but you
Gary
know, when
Baker,
you love your job...
Yes.
You know, it's a vacation every day. And no. I really enjoy working for General Motors. It is a blast.
There you go.
There's so many young kids now working at GM that, and all this fresh blood coming in. It's really stimulating.
Well, there's a man here on the other.
Go ahead. They're not all that much younger. You're just getting older.
Thanks, Gary.
I just thought I'd break the news to you. Yeah.
No, there's a man, the Gary Baker, who's turned a vacation into a job.
I only wish.
It's work down there.
But if you have to work, it's nice to work in a nice area.
Oh, right? No kidding. Gary is talking to us from aboard his boat called the Shared Adventure, which is docked in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, right, Gary?
That's right. Las Olas Marina, which is right in the heart of everything. So 3 blocks to the beach and less than half a block to Las Olas Bridge coming over the intracoastal waterway.
Wow.
Having lots of fun, got my dinghy last night. So we had, of course, go up the New River and find all the boats up there. And
He will be back in our area occasionally.
And, yes.
I will be back there this week and then again 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Oh, good. Will your family recognize you? Or have you grown a beard or something?
Yeah, we can compare tans because I've been building sheds and stuff.
I can't. I look as pale as ever. Oh, my goodness.
So, but back to technology.
Yes,
so.
Back to technology. We had a great program lined up. Gary, as a matter of fact, the person that we're going to be talking with in just a moment here on our phone lines from New Mexico is somebody that you ran into at a conference in New Orleans. Am I right?
Yep, actually one of her friends, and we hit it off very, very well and went out to dinner together after some of the receptions, and he told me about her, and mm-hmm. I said, you've got to be kidding, this is exactly what we preach, and we've been preaching for 19 and a half years since the show started, that we need to somehow encourage teens to help seniors and seniors to help teens.
Yep.
And she has done an incredible job of putting together something called Teen Years. And we're going to be talking with Trish Lopez, a remarkable young woman, young mother who came back to the Albuquerque area. We'll get into that as we talk. But what was that was part of a conference that you met a number of people at.
That's right. Collision Conference, which this is the first year I've gone. I think it's the sixth one overall. I could be wrong on that. But 20,000 people and a lot of really, really cool technology, a lot of new startups and venture capitalists and other people that like to that like the process of innovation. And you can't get better than having a whole group of entrepreneurs and having some resources there to ferret it out and help them grow to the next level. And that's what Collision Conference was all about. And again, it's only 20,000 people or so. And you couldn't ask for a better location right in the heart of New Orleans.
Oh, NOLA. And now that, by the way, how long has that been going on, Garrett?
I think this was the sixth year of it. I could be wrong.
All right. Garrett,
but this is our fourth guest, I believe, from Collision Conference that I've met down there, because of it.
A rich contact. Hey, guys, this has been kind of a slow news week in general. Not a whole lot to talk about, but Gary, you were mentioning before we got on the air here that you had seen some things about the new iPhone 8 and some of the more recent rumors that have come up around that.
You know, when Steve Jobs was alive and running Apple, he was just a master at creating suspense by actually not saying anything. and so people would speculate. Well, you know, they're still speculating. You know, it's around, okay, now that the public beta is out for the Apple iOS 11.
That's right.
What does that mean for the new iPhone that's, you know, and again, we don't know for sure, but they've gotten in the habit of releasing the new models in September, announcing September, releasing 1st of October. Everybody expects that will continue. There's been a few leaks about what they, you know, what people suspect. And again, it's all rumor. You can't tell for sure.
Now, we're about 60 seconds, by the way, from our break. Anything in particular stick out for you this last week that you saw?
Well, you know, they're talking about, you know, continuing to more pixels, more density. That's nothing new in the cameras and changing how the zoom works a little bit more, kind of catching up to a lot of the Android phones. But they're also, you know, everybody wants better glass. They're talking about doing away with the fingerprint reader.
Oh, really?
Something else. And of course, there's all the people that want the headphone jack back, which will not happen.
No, it won't. And I ran into, as a matter of fact, some problems with that today. I got an iPhone 7, and I have to tell you that I really, really like the way it works. It's been absolutely outstanding. All right, Gary, we're going to take a quick pause, and we're going to be back in just a moment with Trish Lopez, who's the founder of Teen Years, Teens and Seniors Moving Forward. It's our first hour of the Internet Advisor, and as Gary, you may have heard him say before we introduced our guest here, when he heard about Teen Years, and by the way, if you want to see how that looks, you go to internetadvisor.net in our show notes for today. It's a combination, obviously, of teens and seniors, and it was something that just made such perfect sense in terms of our audience, which is made up of a lot of seniors. And we know very well that there are teens out there who are very, very capable young people who would love to have an opportunity to share their information with these elderly citizens and can do it in a great way. So let's introduce Trish Lopez to our program here. Trish, you're the founder of Teen Years. Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you so much.
Good to have you on here. Tia, let's talk a little bit about your own background and how this all came to you, because you're very close to a teen, I understand.
No, not at all. Well, I'm 39, so I'm like a good medium.
Then you look an awful lot. You look a lot closer to the teens that you work with.
Oh well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you gotta stop using your high school picture.
Right. I'm gonna start updating it with the new millennium. No, I'm 39, and my professional background is. Actually, mostly in the film industry. I was born and raised in New Mexico, went to University of New Mexico. My last year of college was in Los Angeles working at Sony as an intern, then at Warner Brothers Studios in a management training program, and just stayed in the film industry for many years, both in Los Angeles and in New Mexico. Before traveling, having our daughter, who is now 4, and moving back to New Mexico when she was about just before she turned 1. So when I got back, not only was I not interested in working the same kinds of hours that I had worked before she was born, because I wanted to be a mom first and foremost, but I was acutely aware of the improvements that need to be made in New Mexico. We're one of the most impoverished states. We're consistently ranked among the worst for child wellness, child abuse, really, you know, just lots of problems, lots of great things about New Mexico, and also lots of things that I would love to contribute in a more positive way too.
Sure.
So I remember thinking, like, you know, my jobs in the film industry had been really cool and fun and they paid pretty well. But I had a real social impact kind of focus when I moved back as a mom, more so than I did when I was a kid living here. And, a startup weekend event for women came up, which is like an entrepreneurial weekend thing, with a bunch of strangers get together, pitch ideas, and then you compete. If your ideas are voted on, you get to be in the competition. Teniors ended up winning first place there, and then we got into a business accelerator that summer.
That was 2015, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is a relatively new thing that you've ventured into. Where did the crystallization of the idea come together for you? Was there kind of an aha moment when you thought, this would really work?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I think it's important for anyone who has an idea, whether it's a new organization or just anything, you know, very few of us grow up thinking we can be an entrepreneur, for example.
Sure.
That wasn't even a term when I was a kid, like from the world I grew up in. And what happened was I was at that startup weekend. The only reason I was there was because I was encouraged by friends of mine to support these women who wanted to be entrepreneurs in some kind of like marketing role or other thing that I was familiar with, to volunteer my time.
Yeah.
Because there weren't enough women signed up. And I was like, I want to support women in leadership roles. But it ended up being that everyone was pitching apps, everyone. And none of them were coders, by the way. So, it's just a dime a dozen, the amount of apps that are being pitched and created nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great. I love technology, but technology is not a silver bullet for the world's most pressing problems, in my opinion.
Yep.
There's so much more human connection that I would like to see. So for the purposes of Startup Weekend, I pitched the idea of youth connecting with elders more in New Mexico. I would love to see this exist everywhere, and we've certainly got requests for teeners everywhere from all over the country,
Trish,
as well as the world.
A little hidden agenda here. We're one of those ones that wants to see if we can make this happen here. Well, I just fell in love with it. I know Gary did when he heard about it in New Orleans at the Collision conference. Yeah. And we have dealt with young people at Ed's young family. Matter of fact, his son's still in university. We love this idea because we have an older audience ourselves. People who have been listening to our station, which is like a traditional radio station that's one of the most powerful in the country. And people have had a heritage of listening to this. So they tend to be older in the sense of listening to radio. But we have people constantly saying to us, our second hour is answering tech questions, I'm a senior and I don't know much about technology.
Yes.
We got to get over that.
I know. Well, and I got to tell you, we constantly work in a way that tries to make this sort of template. That way, if somebody in Michigan or anywhere else wants to create a teen years program in their area, they can. I mean, there's so much that I could talk about that I'm trying to pinpoint and get to the point. To answer your earlier question, my mom was even like, that's cute, your idea. Yeah, I do need that. Because I was like, Mom, you totally need that. What are you talking about, cute? And she was like, yeah, I totally need that, but I would never pay for that. And I was like, well, Mom, everyone cannot constantly volunteer their time. Like, what, you know, you have to prioritize it if you want help. Otherwise, you keep asking your kids and never learn anything from us. So I, but the first thing we did during that accelerator was I went to a senior center in sort of the poor part of town.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I can get these people interested, any people with money could be interested. And I was like, hi, we're not selling anything. Just want to bring some teens in. Smartphones 101, private tutoring session. Everyone gets 30 minutes. Would that be okay? So I say, like, can I, I'll create a flyer for you guys. We arrived that day. It was supposed to be a two-hour thing. There was people just standing in line waiting.
I bet.
And we had, I think, 22, you know, seniors that day. All of them got an individual private coaching session. None of the kids were trained. I basically got references, resumes, had them apply to be a teenager. But mostly I was just like, you guys, they're going to ask you questions that I have no idea what we're going to ask. We can't possibly train everyone what they're going to be asked. Plus, the kids have to be independent contractors because there's just not enough work to make it a full-time job.
Yeah, right.
So we wouldn't train anyway. So it's kind of, we like oriented them. The senior holds the device. The teen does not. We want you to get the kinetic feel of your smartphone or tablet.
Yeah, I love it. Now, by the way, Trish Lopez is our guest here. She is the CEO and founder of Teen Years. As I understand the concept of this, this is tech-savvy teens and young adults helping seniors learn technology through this one-on-one personal tutoring you're talking about. So there is a tutoring function of this, but there's also a business aspect of this where you're trying to help the kids to establish businesses for themselves.
Yes, I'm so glad you said that, because when I'm talking to like high schools, everyone thinks this is all about kids, and when I'm talking about seniors, they think it's all about seniors. It's really for both. We've seen such an amazing difference in these and the lives of both of those segments of people. I mean, if you think about it, teens are actually, at least some of them, they're underestimated and sort of marginalized the same way that seniors are. And when they are in the room coaching, I mean, they go from being underestimated and marginalized to the most valued person in the room. They're respected for their knowledge, and they're appreciated for their help. A lot of these kids come to us, and they do not, they're, a lot of them, frankly, are socially awkward. They're certainly not the life of the party in most situations. in some cases, parents are like, I am so glad since Joe started working with you. I mean, all he did, he didn't really have much of a life before this. His friends were online, you know, his gaming friends.
Yes, yes.
And since he started doing this, it's just, it's made a profound impact in his confidence.
So, Trish, do the kids then kind of, they build their own businesses for this?
No, it's kind of, it's not really like they build their own businesses because they, frankly, we don't have enough work and we wouldn't, see, we wouldn't give them enough work for them to even, you know, like we get a 1099 at the end of the year from
Gotcha.
So they're kind of your kind. They're in college. They've got practice. They can only do it on weekends or evenings on occasion.
Part of the business model of this, and maybe let's go into the business model of this afterwards, because there is this isn't just kind of like grandma hijacking one of the grandchildren to get this done, or a niece or a nephew.
How many times?
By the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, no.
Very, very, very few grandchildren and adult children are good teachers.
That's very true.
What you usually do is say, oh, Mom, I've done this for you a million times. Here, let me just recover your password. There you go. There, now it's there. Done. You know, like the kids, our kids are actually trained in personally tutoring you.
Oh.
Like our whole goal is empowering seniors.
I love it. Trish Lopez is our guest here. She's a young mother from New Mexico. She is a person who founded Teen Years. We're going to find out more about what the structure of this is. And one of her clients, Susan Page, who is a retired prosecutor, is going to be joining us to talk about what the experience is like from the seniors' end of things as well. We're going to find out more about maybe possibly finding a way of getting this template going around here in our Detroit area, or within the sound of our voice, which is a lot of places. We kind of have our arms stretched out around the country here, Gary, down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Ed and I in studio here in downtown Detroit. And then we also have our guest, Trish Lopez, and another guest who was one of her clients, Susan Page, in New Mexico. So we're got quite a spread here, but thank you very much for joining us today. Mike Stett, thank you, our engineer, for making this, pulling this all together. Ed, you had a question you wanted to, or a comment you wanted to make before we went to break.
Yeah, pretty much a comment. As you said, there's life skills that the teens are probably developing because they have been not interacting with, you know, too many people except for their peers. And for them to work with adults, they're, and, you know, the benefit to themselves, their self-esteem is improved. But also, how many times have you worked with a teen and you say, and they just grab the device and let me show you. Now mm-hmm. they have to improve, you know, the senior has to keep the device in their hands and they have to verbally describe, you know, the steps necessary to perform such an action. So the kids are also developing those skills as well.
Yeah, social skills, people-to-people skills. Oh, marvel of marvels.
Yes.
No emojis are involved in this. I would like to introduce Susan Page. Susan is, Trish is one of your clients. She's a retired prosecutor down there in New Mexico. Susan, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you.
We wanted to have you on to hear what the experience of dealing with teen years has been like for you as a senior.
Well, I thought Ed had it just right, because when I ask somebody like one of my kids to do, show me something, they just take it away from me and do it, and I don't have any better idea how to do it than I did before.
Yeah.
When I've worked with the teen years, they have showed me how to do it with my own hands. And they've given me time to write it down so I'll remember the next time. And then they've helped me do it a second time, and they've just made it easier for me. And they do it without ever, you know, making me feel like I'm stupid or anything. Yeah. Because I'm not stupid. I'm a, you know, I'm a lawyer. I know what I'm doing. But I'm a digital immigrant. You know, I still remember when we got the computer at work. And so now I have so much a better computer than I used to have at work, but I don't know how to use it unless somebody stops and shows me the steps.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And I have so much respect for people like Susan who just say the truth. Like, look, I'm very intelligent. This is just new to me. Because, like I said, I'm 39. Nobody was getting cell phones until I was in college, and I was one of the first ones, which means that was around 97, 98. I was one of the first ones. So we went through all of high school. Same thing to Susan. I remember when the computer came into our high school library when I was a junior. Like, so I understand it from both perspectives, because now I'm using technology all the time. But I've learned a ton from the kids too.
Gary?
You know, it's not just a senior thing, I guess is my point.
Yeah, right. Gary?
You know, Susan made a very good point. I have a guest here this weekend, Matt Burgess, from near Orlando. And he's a mathematics teacher and a baseball coach. And he was saying that, you know, the same thing happens and they get trained as teachers. The easiest thing is to take the device and just show them that way, or take the pencil and show them. And he was saying that they can't do that, that they really have to explain it to them well enough. And he actually said that the only thing they can do if they do take the pencil is use the eraser. They can't actually use the pencil side. So, and you know, I mean, it just makes sense when you're trying to get people to learn. But I was really interested, and maybe from Susan's perspective, you know, so many times over the 19 and a half years that we've been on the show, we've said, find a teen to help you with this technology.
Right.
And oh, by the way, they need help, too. They need help understanding common sense, not to believe everything on the Internet. There's so many life skills and life messages that the seniors have that they could reciprocate with the teen. So I'm curious, does that happen? Is that part of the program?
Well, I haven't had myself long-term relationships with any of the teeners. It's been more of a one at a time kind of thing. But I believe that Trish has helped them with basic sort of work skills.
Mm-hmm.
I spent most of my career as a supervisor, so I understand about teaching people how to work and how to do that right and interact with other people. And that's a big part of the teen years. You know, they do that very well. They do understand that they are there to help you learn something, not that they're just there to show off.
Sure.
You know, and they're there to answer your questions, not just to put you through some kind of curriculum or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And I've actually been working just lately, not so much with teeners, but I've been looking at buying something new. So I asked one of the teens at my church, and since I had the experience of working with the teeners, I sort of had an idea of how to talk shop with this 16-year-old.
I love it.
And he's kind of new to church. I don't know him that well. And it's giving me a chance to bridge, you know, build a little bit of
that's
a relationship.
That's interesting,
there.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, because I think it's hard for young people to have a clue of how to build a relationship with somebody they don't know that well, who's, you know, older than God. And, so, you know, and clearly really doesn't know anything about this stuff, and be able to for us to do that in a sort of a mutually respectful way.
I love it.
Yeah, and I will say that for Susan's point, it's just Susan's just a fun personality, so it's always been cool that when I see her at events that we hold. But I hope the same thing for these kids. We do a survey every year. We're about to do our new one, asking the kids like, what's the hardest part of this job? What's the best part of this job? What have you learned from the seniors doing this kind of work, et cetera, et cetera? We got such incredible feedback from them last year. Basically, the result was, I just wish there were more of this work. Like, I was so cool because we've worked with dozens and dozens of kids just in Albuquerque alone. And I say kids, but actually they range from 15 to 27 because we have a computer programmer who makes far more money than I did at my last job. Who wanted to work with us. And when he was applying and he was 26, I was like, Chris, you work full time. You make pretty good money. I was like, why do you want to do this? And he was like, oh, just because I love what you guys are doing. Like,
oh,
I want
that
to do
is so cool. Now, Trish, by the way.
So cool. And a mechanical engineer that does the same.
Now, we haven't gotten a whole lot of time, but you mentioned the idea of this being kind of a template that could be applied elsewhere.
Yes.
Part of what you do, if I'm not wrong, is that you also offer like services, for pay services to seniors. Am I right?
How so? Do you mean, do we do this for free and do we do it for paid?
Yeah, you do it for paid as well.
Yes, let me explain how the model works.
Yeah.
How it works is this. We have two income streams. Group events and private coaching sessions. Group events can be a senior living community saying, we have 12 seniors, they all got different devices, please come. We kind of set up a group event, but we pair up our kids based on their skill sets with each one. So
gotcha.
It's always one-on-one coaching. Then individual private sessions. You can come to our office, we can come to your home, or we can meet you at Starbucks or anywhere else. If you come to us, it's $44.95 per hour. Mm-hmm. If we come to you, it's $10 more.
Okay.
Now, I really struggled with that because my mom, for example, is like couldn't afford that. So in the beginning, I was like, you know what we'll do? We'll charge $20 an hour and we'll pay the kids 10 and we'll get 10. Everyone wins. That was before I had any idea of rent and website presence and legal and insurance fees and any kind of idea of running an organization.
Yeah.
It's not just a business. Running a nonprofit.
Absolutely. So have you been able to make this work for you financially as well? Because you said it's a nice idea, but...
We're not quite break even yet. We've
okay.
been making revenue since day one, not quite break even yet.
Okay. I love your honesty in that. It's still a model that's got to find a maker. Now, how can people who are listening to this here, you know, in Michigan and Indiana and Ohio, maybe even in Ontario, Southwest Ontario is right next door to us. How can they, you know, find out more about the template that you've got there? I should mention, excuse me, Tess.
I'm so glad you asked.
Pardon, hang on just a second before you go on.
Sure.
Folks, if you go to internetadvisor.net, you will find links to Teniers, and you will also find a short video there that Trish made that will explain a little bit more. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Trish. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. Teniers.com, which is teen, like teenager, IORS.com. That's our website. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, YouTube. We'd love you to check out the quick 2-minute video on our site that explains what Teniers is. And we would love, you know, anyone who has the means, by all means, please feel free to donate to the program. I can assure you your money goes to a great cause because in addition to the paid private and group events we do, we help all the time seniors who can't afford to pay. From the beginning, we committed to doing at least one monthly community event to help seniors who can't afford to pay or seniors who just want to try it out and aren't convinced that it's worth it yet. So it's mostly low-income seniors. And we've done probably 23 of those group events now. We've helped hundreds and hundreds of seniors just in this area alone.
Okay, excellent. So do you have like franchises? Is that how it works?
I think that, no, we don't have franchises. Right now, we're only based in New Mexico.
Okay.
And I think what would be ideal is to do something like a franchise model or license it out otherwise.
But otherwise, right now, it's just a stupendous idea, steal this guy.
Thank you. And I would like to say, because I know nobody in Michigan or Florida knows much about us, we have got fantastic client reviews. We get 5-star reviews all the time. We've been featured in local and national press quite a bit. And we have great reviews from the kids who work with us. So we've worked with plenty of people. This isn't so while I'm calling it a program, it's actually become well established here in New Mexico. It's just like most new organizations, it's really hard to get up to a point of being break even.
Yep. I understand that entirely. Hey, Susan Page, thank you so much for joining us and for your endorsement as a senior to this. We appreciate your being here. And Trish Lopez, I just love this and want to see that we get people who are listening here who may have caught kind of the excitement of this to go to teenyears.com, find out more about it, get in touch with Trish and the folks there, and let's see if we can get something like this going in our area as well. Trish, thanks so much for being with us here on the Internet Advisor.
Thank you so much. Contact us anytime, anyone. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Trish Lopez, remarkable young woman and a great program. Let's see maybe if you can make it. Mike Brennan and MI Tech News coming up. Once again, thank you very much to Mike Stett, who is our engineer here. Stett, great job. You know, we burn them out. They can only do an hour at a time. That whole teeners thing has got me just pumped. And before we get to Mike Brennan in just a moment, I want to offer you this opportunity. Gary and I and Ed, we've been talking about this during the break. We would love to encourage and support anybody who's interested in getting something like this started in this area. And I know Trish would be, I know, more than happy to be instrumental in helping us to structure something like that.
Right.
Well, there's nothing better than the satisfaction of knowing that you can help someone.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons why Gary and myself and you do this show, because
absolutely,
of the call-in section and trying to help people. There's a personal reward with that. You know,
there certainly is. And all the benefits to the kids, too, is they're learning how to, you know, actually do face-to-face communication. Marvel of marvels. And for the seniors as well, it really values them. If you're interested in this, here's what we're going to do. InternetAdvisor.net is our homepage, okay? And on there, there's a contact form, or you can simply go up on the toolbar on the top hand. There's a contact us button. Click on that. And if you're interested in something like this and want to try to get it off the ground, we'll work with you to whatever extent we can to make it happen. See if we can connect you also up with Trish Lopez. And I think we can make something like this happen. And we don't have to be, you know, making it in any image of ours, but we'd love to see this concept take hold here. Well, it's time for us to talk with the editor of MI Tech News. That's Mr. Mike Brennan. I think after a week, he finally has got his sleep back. Am I right, Mike?
Well, pretty much, yeah. It took me till about Wednesday before I knew what time zone I was in, but thank God for 4th of July. I just took that off and took a mental break, and I'm back.
He's back. Mike, we were talking with him last week about he had just literally that day last Saturday arrived after a 19-hour flight from Tel Aviv, Israel, where he had been attending Cyber Week. And I know that you've got some follow-up that you're doing on your MI Tech News site. Am I right, Mike?
Yeah, actually quite a bit. We'll be doing it over the next couple of weeks because I had so much material and so much video that I shot. That I just wasn't able to process it fast enough to get it all into the newsletter. So we'll be dribbling it out over the next couple of weeks. Great stories coming up. There's one about a hardware smartphone hack that I'll be sharing with you. Ooh. And there's one about a venture capital company overseas that's working with Israeli companies that uses a crowdfunding model. And so we'll be sharing all those stories with
excellent,
you.
Excellent. Well, some of the headlines that you've got at MI Tech News this week, I focus on some of your experiences there. And one that I saw I found kind of interesting was your former Israeli security chief tells auto industry to stop the development of autonomous vehicles until cybersecurity is solved. That's pretty serious.
It certainly is, and so is the issue. It's Yuval Diskin is his name, and he ran an organization called SABAC, Hollywood, I'm not sure, sort of like the FBI, I guess, in Israel. And he's the one that dealt with all the cyber crime, all the physical crime, all the terrorists. So, you know, he knows his stuff. He's now working with VW in Germany to work with them to make sure that their networks are secure, that to keep the hackers out. And he's very much of an offensive-minded, defensive guy. He thinks we should take the fight to the bad guys and not just wait for the bad guys to come to us. But more importantly, he thinks the auto industry is going about it all wrong by just trying to protect individual vehicles. He said they should be protecting the entire autonomous vehicle network, all the connections.
Well,
and it
sense.
Shouldn't be just GM doing it or Ford or FCA. It should be everybody working on this issue because it's going to be the huge issue. I mean, it's the technology but it's very incredibly insecure right now.
Mm.
I was just saying, if they can solve it, the security problems for the autonomous vehicle industry, then they can they'll be able to solve it for all of us in every industry, right?
Yes.
So I think
absolutely.
That's what I think if you know, it's a big job, but if we can get it done, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Well,
and
yeah.
The Israelis are so good at figuring out the solutions to some of these big problems.
Oh, yeah. And I think of the model, matter of fact, you and I, at one time, we were dealing with Livio, which was a software package that was helping cars communicate. And one of the problems was that you had all these different systems that were being built.
Yeah.
And that is kind of the place we're at right now, it sounds like, Mike.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Gary can attest to this. As these industries all start out, everybody does their own thing. And then hopefully, eventually, everybody gets to the point where we have a common platform. And that's what really needs to be done here. This is everybody's going to be using this platform, all the automakers. And it should be a joint project with all the automakers. I don't think you're giving away any intellectual property here, because they're all trying to solve the same problem. But if it's the same system, it's easier to protect.
Absolutely. Give it away if it protects all of us, for pity's sake. It's like open source. Well, let's quickly hit a couple of other headlines I see here. Grand Rapids metro area is being ranked number one last year for the fastest growing economy in the U.S. Tell me about that.
Well, a group called Headlight Data came out with a survey, and it shows that the Grand Rapids workforce grew by 4.4%. That's pretty significant for 1 year. Apparently, it was the best in the whole country. And if you've been to Grand Rapids, like I grew up in Grand Rapids and pretty familiar with it. It's just booming over there. All the, all the craft beer places, all the folks coming downtown, all the technology coming out of Grand Rapids. So I'm not particularly surprised.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, one of the other things here I see is another headline. And by the way, folks, these are the headlines that you'll see on MI Tech News. And if you subscribe to MI Tech News by simply going to mitechnews.com or on our homepage at internetadvisor.net, you will be able to, for free for nothing, just put your email address in there and sign up. You get these kind of headlines and stories. Last one I see here is the Small Business Administration Energy Advocate helps small businesses find energy savings.
Yes, and it's free, and you don't have to be a member of Small Business Association of Michigan, a.k.a. SBAM. And what they do is they will help coordinate with DTE and consumers or whatever energy, you know, you're using. If you're in different parts of the state where they don't use either one of those, you get energy audits, rate analysis, outage alerts, all sorts of things. But one of the examples that that Cal Richards gave us when he was on the M Squared TechCast was they went in and discovered that the company they were working with was using really, really old equipment, and they saved them 40% on their energy cost.
Wow.
Which allowed them to completely upgrade the equipment and have the fact that they were saving so much money paid for the equipment.
Wow. Incredible. Mike, unfortunately, we're hearing a little bit of chatter on your end of the line on the phone, so we're going to say goodbye for this week. But folks, you will hear Mike here pretty much every week, unless he's flying internationally from someplace. And even then, when he lands, he gives us a call. Mike Brennan is the editor of MI Tech News. And again, you can go to mitechnews.com or theinternetadvisor.net, and you can sign up for this service. And it's a great service. Keep you in touch with everything happening in technology and entrepreneurship here in the state of Michigan. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. Well, Gary and Ed, we're going to rally our forces. We're not teens, but we're going to do our very best to answer the questions that our folks have when they call in this coming hour, because it's your hour. If you have a question about technology, a phone, it could be your computer, whatever it may be, 800-859-0957 is the phone number. That's 800-859-0957. Call from anywhere that you hear the sound of my voice, and we will get you on the air with your question. The key is call early. We'll get you on the line as quickly as we can. Matter of fact, we're looking forward to hearing from an old friend of ours, Paul Sr. from Houston, Texas. He's got an interesting comment to make about some of the scams that are going around. Stay tuned for another hour of the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage, theinternetadvisor.net. you'll discover past podcasts, our free toolkit with software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and many other resources. You'll also find links to mitechnews.com, our co-sponsored weekly tech and entrepreneur newsletter, edited by Mike Brennan. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact button on the homepage and send us an email with the details. And don't forget to look for us on Facebook and Twitter and at Detroit's newest podcast network, PodcastDetroit.com. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, Ed Rudell, and Gary Baker ready to answer your questions. Yeah, we're not teens, but that's okay. We've got a lot of experience here of answering people's questions. 800-859-0957 is our phone number. That's 800-859-0957. We're going to kick off the conversation with an old friend, Paul Sr. from Houston, Texas, in just a minute, talking about a nasty little scam that's out there. Welcome. It's hour number two of the Internet Advisor, and I'm glad to see that you folks are taking the advice, and I've been calling in. Frank, Janice, and Jim will be getting to you as we motor into our second hour of the program, and we also have an old friend joining us from Houston, Texas. That's none other than Paul Sr. Paul, welcome to the show. Good to have you on with us.
Oh, it's good to be on with you. It's been a long time.
It has been. Harbor Beach used to be the connection we made with you, but you've decided another shoreline is the one that you wanted to take a look at.
Yeah, I didn't sweat enough up there, so we're down here. It's in the upper 90s.
You're talking about the humidity.
Oh, that humidity's past that.
Oh, I bet it is. Houston, Texas. Hey, oh.
Well, Paul, this is Gary, and I'm glad I'm not the only one migrating south.
It beats shoveling snow, Gary.
It does. I'm with you there, Paul.
No, I'd rather shovel snow than live with humidity. This is Ed, so.
Yeah.
That's just me. I'm just.
Yeah. We're two for two here because I agree with you, Ed. I think the same thing. Hey, Paul, the reason we asked you to be on, because after our show last week, there was a dear lady who had been just scammed out of heaven knows how much money. And you emailed us about a story that of an experience that you had with a Roku TV, a new smart TV you had. Tell us, if you could, kind of quickly, what that experience was.
I'll tell you, these guys are good. Okay, I bought a TV that had Roku in it, and mm-hmm. you have to call and get it activated.
Right.
So I did a quick Google search on the company that makes the TV. There was like, you know, half a dozen, how many thousands. So I pick one. I call the number. I get an authorization code. I punch it into the TV. It doesn't work.
Mm.
They say, if it doesn't work, call this number. So I call this other number. And the guy gets on the phone and he answers it. This is, you know, so-and-so from such and such a company. And I says, well, I'm trying to activate the TV for the Roku. He says, well, we have three levels of activation. It goes from $99 to $199.
Good grief.
Now I spent $150 for the TV. You know, Best Buy's going to get a TV back if this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. But it's interesting because we wondered how you had gotten that number. You did it with a Google search.
Yep.
And I got them on the screen. And I checked, of course, being a guy, you don't look at the instruction booklet, right?
Well, that's the last thing we do.
Yes, exactly. In case everything else fails, read the instructions. I know.
The instruction booklet has a different phone number.
Uh-huh. So what happened when you
call that?
Yeah, go ahead.
I call them up, and I say, listen, this, and I says, fine, no problem, punch this in. I says, look, you do it, okay? So I gave them the information. They punch it in. The TV's on. Everything works. I says, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You got somebody out there that's a fraud. Mm. They were going to charge me to activate the TV. And they says, no, there's never a charge.
How did they?
But basically what's happened is what's happening a lot of times. And one of the things that's happening with Google is they're being sued by the European Union for putting paid ads before true ads,
right, exactly.
If you will.
Yeah, yeah.
And that seems to be what's happened is someone's paid ad space to Google to advertise that when someone types in Roku subscription for the TV or, you know, Sony or Samsung or whatever. And if they use those keywords, their ad's going to show up first. It may not be legitimate, but it's their ad. And it their search comes up first before a legitimate one.
Yeah.
If I can tell you one more thing that happened to me is that I was dialing an 800 number for some company. And I dialed 1-800, you know, and they answer the phone with the company's name and says, well, you've been selected, you know, to win this gift certificate, you know, and they're going to need some information and stuff.
Oh, dear.
I said, wait a minute. This stinks. Then I looked. The number that I called was 1-800. The number I should have called was 1-866.
Yep. There are so many. From the old days, you and I remember that 1-800 was the toll-free numbers. Now it could be 1-877, 866, or whatever.
888, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, Paul, I just maybe find a question for you because we've got about 60 seconds here. What was the response when you got the guy who on Google and you said, no way, what did they try to do?
I said, well, let me call you back, okay? So then they give you yet another number.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the whole thing stinks. I said, I ain't paying for this. He says, well, then I'm not going to activate your TV. Well, I'll tell you what, dude.
Yeah, you can't in the first place.
Best Buy's going to get it. Best Buy's going to get a TV back.
Yeah. Well, and as you know, you got a reputable company there with Best Buy that sold you a good TV.
Yep.
And as you said, that the real solution to the problem is stick with the manual in there. You'll have the proper numbers. If you go Googling for it, you're liable to get stung. Paul, thanks so much for being with us. I wanted to have you on just to reinforce the need to be careful about how you get your information. And if it sounds quinky, it probably is hinky. Paul, thanks so much for being there.
Boys, they're really, really good out there.
They are, but fortunately, you're smarter than.
You know what? It's almost getting to the point where I wish I had my Yellow Pages back.
Yeah.
You know, that way I can look up legitimate companies and go in there.
Paul, thanks so much for being with us.
You're more than welcome.
Exercise your sweat glands. Take care,
guys.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a whole lot different than it was up in Harbor Beach.
Well, you know, I use Google, but I also use Bing.
Yes, I know that, and that is an interesting. Let's talk about that. Using both of those search engines. Come back in just a minute. Janice and Gross Eel will be with you. And the number is 800-859-0957. Thank you for joining us for this hour number two. It's all yours. Your questions are what we are going to wrap this hour around at 800-859-0957. Gary, I thought you had some thoughts to share about that last caller.
Well, actually, it was really more around Ed's comment about, I just wish I had my Yellow Pages back. I said, YP.com. And, you know, there is some validity to that because it's a third-party source that says, you know what, we vetted these businesses.
Yes.
We know these businesses are legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's free. You can go to YP.com.
Yep, that's excellent.
And there's other validation sources as well, but that's a good one.
And one of the other ones that too, and I know you like to use this, Ed, is to go to Bing and use Bing.
Yep, I prefer, you know, Shane sort of got me on the kick because, you know, how Google monitors every email you send, every document you upload to your G Drive, they're all scanned, and then ads are then tailored to it, and you receive emails to, you know, things that you've just uploaded to your Google Drive or whatever. And so he turned me on to it. I still like the Google search engine, but I use Bing more and more.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I was doing that as well. And I like the fact that I get different results.
Yes, they're not
the same. They're different results. All right, let's go to Janice in Gross Eel. Janice, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you today?
I have an all-in-one that has an HP. I run Windows 10. And I went to print something today. I have an Epson 310 printer, and it wouldn't print. And then it says, I lost my driver. I mean, how did I lose my driver? I don't know where it went.
It's like driving Miss Daisy, huh?
So is your printer connected wirelessly? So did you originally install the software for your Epson 310, and then it discovered it wirelessly and set it up?
Yes.
Okay. That might be the process you have to go through again. That's what I would recommend. I don't know how it forgot about it, but that would be the simplest solution. You could even probably remove the the printer beforehand just in case by going into printers and devices and removing that.
Go into printer and devices and
find your existing printer and then just, you know, right mouse click or highlight it. And at the top of the screen in the printer and devices, you have the ability to select remove device.
Okay. And then remove it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Or you're going to say remove it and then.
And then afterwards, reinstall it using the software provided by the manufacturer.
Okay.
Either the CD, DVD, or you can always go to the website and download new software, because more than likely the manufacturer has updated
its
software. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Epson.com, select your Epson 310, and download the, which is really ridiculous, the enormous, you know, 400 megabyte files most vendors do for setup.
Oh, yeah. And all the other bells and whistles they've added on
drivers,
to it.
That's not driver. You're downloading software and programs and stuff like that, auto discovery for the network.
Yeah, exactly.
The drivers should really only be a couple megabyte.
Yeah, exactly.
Really.
But you're
downloading an entire suite of software.
That's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly it. Okay, Janice.
Epson or HP.
Hey, Ed, there's one thing that you might try before that, and I'm interested in your opinion, and that is, what if she just turned off the printer and rebooted her computer?
Have you tried that?
And then rebooted them back up. And once you do that, you may find the printer driver again.
Okay. I have not tried that, but I will do that first. That sounds easier.
You know, that brings up a good point. For some reason, I didn't even think about shutting down the computer and both devices, because so many of us now just let our computers go to sleep or standby,
and we
rarely reboot them.
Yep,
so that's
all week long I have mine. Just
great observation, Gary.
Goes to sleep. Excellent. Okay, Janice, try the simplest solution first. Okay? Thank you so much, Ed. All right, let's go to Jim.
So Ed,
Go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to mention that here I can get onto the Wi-Fi, so that network in the marina. But to get really good throughput, I've got a little hotspot. I don't want to use it all the time because it uses AT&T data, but I'll use it when I need to. So I found that sometimes my printer is on one network because I had used it on that network last. And, you know, my computer, I moved over to the other network because I needed a little better output or whatever. And it says, you can't find my printer. So sometimes if people are moving back and forth between networks, they could have a problem. So from, say, from home to work, sometimes that could be a problem. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just a thought.
It's a very good one to look into. All right, let's go to Jim from Westland. Jim, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you? Tom, we may need to put line 4 up so we hear Jim. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been reading a lot from the email from Best Buy about disconnecting from your internet. My internet is part of the big part why I use my computer. That's why I have it, not just my TV connection.
Sure.
And my problem is I've read about several antennas that claim for $30 you can plug it to the back of your TV, plug it in the wall, and you'll get 100 stations.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt if you're going to get stations like HBO and Showtime, where I watch my boxing and my movies, and is it really going to be worth it? Because I wouldn't want to just try Hulu, and they don't do enough of my shows, and I had Hulu, mm-hmm. and I had this one and that. It's going to be, again, like my cable bill. Where are we going, and why?
Oh, boy, you have asked the, used to say, $64,000 question. That's chump change now. Ed, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I had my old aerial antenna up that I put up there in 1997, got it at Radio Shack with a 10-foot extension. It probably extends 50 foot in the air because of the house, and I hadn't used it in 10 years. Matter of fact, the motor seized up on it because, you know, remember we used to have the aerial motors and twisting the antenna?
Antenna rotor.
Yeah. So I actually rehooked that up to a TV in the basement that isn't hooked up to cable, and I get 99, 100 stations. A lot of them are a lot of duplicates, I would think. But, you know, me, I'm halfway between Flint and Detroit up in Ortonville, and I do get 100 stations. Mm-hmm. And because I have a digital LCD TV down there. I just basically take the antenna and plug it into my the antenna input.
Right.
I didn't have to get a box. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to get I didn't get a special antenna. You know, I have to knock the birds off occasionally because they bent a few wires up there. But but you're right. How am I going to get my Hulu? How am I going to get my HBO Plus? Yeah. I mean, and you got to pay $4 for one, $6 for the other, $9.95 for the other.
Yeah, you really have put your finger on something, Jim, that I'm running into and trying to find ways.
You're trying to cut the cord, yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to cut the cord. And
yeah, but if you cut it, then you can't use your internet for your Skype and for your searches on your computer.
No.
How are you going to do your searching?
Oh, okay, wait. Let me explain. But from what I understand, cord cutting, and Gary and Ed chime in.
Yeah, you still pay for an internet service.
Yeah, you want to have internet service. You want to have a connection to the internet, and that will run you anywhere between $40 and $60. It depends.
$40 and $80
depending.
Yeah, I paid $79 for me to get internet only.
The more they want you, when you cut off the TV connection, they want $80 a month from my provider.
Okay.
Yep, that's what I get. You must have Charter as well.
I have WoW.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll get you that way. Okay. But then after that, you're right. You have to be careful if you build a package on. Like, what does Hulu run a month? I thought
it was only $4.99, but I mean, that may have been an introductory.
Yeah. But what you got to do then, and I'm learning to do this too, is you got to carefully see, okay, this channel has this that I like to watch, or that I like to watch, or CBS All Access is a great one if you like certain programs that are on TV. Or it could be if you've got boxing or some sport that you really like, then there's a channel for that. You got to choose carefully, or you're right. By the time you empty, you walk up to the checkout with your cart full of connections.
Services, you got a big bill once again.
You got a big bill once again.
Programs when they're on those other services.
This is still evolving, Jim. It's still evolving. And I think we're going to try to do something, a show around this sometime in the near future. Thanks for asking the question, though. Thanks so much for joining us here. Let's head back out to Frank from Livonia. Thank you for your patience, Frank. How may we help you here on this sunny afternoon?
Hey, gentlemen. So I've got what appears to me to be internet connection getting interrupted randomly. Not often, but what's happening is if I watch any videos on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, they either freeze for a moment or stop altogether. My email Outlook application will occasionally prompt me for my ID and password. I'll just cancel it and move on, and then it works fine. Mm-hmm. And my Amazon Fire will buffer for a real long time when I'm trying to watch some TV videos. I've got an internet, my ISP provider, cable modem, and Netgear router connected to the internet. The ISP tested the modem and rebooted it, found no problems with it. They sent me to a website called speedtest.net to check the speeds. She had the opinion that it gave me low download and upload rates.
Okay.
No problems with the modem, I think.
Okay. So the equipment isn't the problem.
So have you tried hardwiring from your laptop or desktop directly to the back of the cable modem as opposed to connecting wirelessly to see what the connection rates are?
Yep. I'm almost always hardwired.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But you're still getting
those problems.
I am. So I'm wondering, which device could be the problem if either. How do I determine if it's the cable modem or the router, the Netgear N900 router?
Okay, so how are you plugging into the back of your Netgear router and testing the hardwire, or did you plug directly into the back of your cable modem and then reboot your cable modem and have your desktop or laptop connect directly to it?
No, I'm still connected
to your router.
The Netgear router.
Okay. How old is the Netgear?
Probably 4 years old.
Yeah, that's about the lifespan of them.
Oh, really? I wonder.
I've had a Linksys, and I'm like, oh, this is the greatest thing. And even now my Linksys, the newer one that I had, I had to get a TP-Link from Micro Center. Mm-hmm. That's a year old. And I stopped having problems, disconnects You know, it would forget about devices, and I'd have to reboot it every, you know, so that the only device in the house that worked was the TV, and all the laptops stopped working.
Yikes.
And so I had to basically get a new router.
What
because
it cost?
Because it was 4 years old. No, I actually got the last gen. I mean, I got the 802.11ac.
Oh, AC, okay.
You know, and it was 6 months old, and I got it for $49.
Oh, wow, you got a good deal.
I'm cheap. I mean, I could have bought the $80 one. Yeah. I could have bought the $120 one, and I could have bought the $400 one. But the $50 one worked great.
Yeah, it does. It does. Frank...
And that may not be it. You may be actually the internet service provider, but that's the first thing I would try is the cable modem. Gary, do you have some suggestions?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, obviously by upgrading the modem to AC, 802.11ac, is going to help.
Yep.
But remember that your wireless connection will step back to the slowest device you have connected.
Yep.
So if he's on not on 5 gigahertz, or I'm talking 5 gigahertz, but on 2.5, that's going to be a problem potentially with some interference, plus, stepping back. But a lot of times with a cable modem, because everybody is streaming video today, we're overloading the endpoints. And so you'll end up with, if you've got four people in your neighborhood all streaming video, all four of you are not going to get good service. Right, I made the four number up, but
I mean, it could be 40
whatever it is.
But,
yeah.
So that's a problem. And then again, there's been effort to try to fix this problem, but because we want net neutrality, meaning all traffic on the internet is treated equally, email, which is a store and serve function, could be getting in the way of streaming media.
Yep.
And we have no way of increasing the quality of service for streaming media above any other type of batch files that could be going across the internet or store and serve email or whatever. So if we continue on the path of net neutrality, and I understand there's problems if you unintended consequences if you don't have net neutrality. But at some point, if we're all going to be streaming over the internet, that's going to continue to be a problem until we can prioritize that service.
Frank, who is your ISP?
Spectrum.
Spectrum. Now that is that's a reseller, isn't it?
No, that's Charter.
Oh, that's Charter.
Charter now has another service called Spectrum.
It used to be Roadrunner.
Oh, it used to be Roadrunner.
Oh, okay.
It acquired Brighthouse recently.
Okay.
So does your wireless router support multiple bands? Does it support
MIMO? Does
it support the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz simultaneously?
It does.
Oh, really? So you were an early adopter of one. Okay. I mean, the only way you're going to be able to test this is eliminate your router completely and then hardwire a device directly into the cable modem and see how the streaming is. Because how frequently was this happening? Is it like every time at 9 o'clock at night, or was there a time that it was happening, or was it all day?
It was maybe two or three times a day randomly. I haven't been recording.
Yeah, because I noticed that I cannot watch. As soon as 5 p.m. comes along, good luck me trying to stream anything.
Yeah,
because that's when everyone gets home at work and they start catching up on their movies. But from 1 o'clock, now that I'm on vacation, for last week, I could stream. I don't get no burps whatsoever from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
And I live in Royal Oak, and what I have happen is that, the connection will
degrade,
and I get buffering with Netflix after like midnight.
Right, and weekends I can't even watch a movie.
That's about it. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even watch a movie on Charter.
It's infuriating
because I have to wait till weeknights.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
It's just ridiculous.
Frank, have we given you something to handle here and hang your head on?
Oh yeah, I think so. Can I get one quick opinion on Cujo, the smart firewall?
I do not. Cujo, no. Mm. Sounds ferocious.
Sounds like
that Stephen King. I wonder if he had to whoever did that had to pay Stephen King to use that name Cujo. Wow.
I'm sorry.
I've been monitoring this. They were at Collision.
Oh.
And I got to meet the founder, and it's interesting to me. I'm not sure that it would work in every application.
Okay.
But if you decide to move in that direction, I'd love to know your opinion once you use the service.
Did you say it was a firewall? I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to look it up, Frank.
Yeah, it's coojo.com. It's built as a smart firewall.
Okay.
And I see that it's gotten a lot of great reviews if you look at it on bestbuy.com.
Mm-hmm.
The views are pretty much unanimous that it's a good thing.
Is it a VPN service or is it a hardware device they mail you?
It's a hardware device.
Okay.
No subscription fee.
Okay, Frank. Well, we'll look into that further and see if we can come up with some comments as well. But you let us know if you find anything else out as well. Okay?
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving us a call.
It's so tough. And Gary brought up a good point about the slowest device in the house getting, bringing all the other devices down.
I was trying
to
remember
that. When I got a new cable modem, I set up a 5 gigahertz channel for me,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't give anyone the password. And everyone else in the house is using the 2.4, but Dad and my Amazon Fire Stick at the 5 gigahertz. Hey, I install it. I could do what I want.
Right? All right. Lynn in Ohio.
I use it for business.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
That's my excuse. That's my excuse for having better service in my house.
All right. Let's go to Lynn in Ohio. Lynn, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, I have a couple of brief questions. One is on brute force attack. Let's say you're allowed 10 attempts for a password, and let's say, can a brute force attack find so many thousands or millions of passwords per second that could overwhelm the computer and somehow slip by it?
Gary, do you have a better idea about brute force? Because, it seems like you have these password limitations of 10 tries and your account's locked either indefinitely or for a half an hour period of time, but when they do brute force, a lot of times what they do is they have a vulnerability on the website. They copy the data down, and then they can basically try to decrypt the usernames and passwords because they copied all the information down, and then they use brute force against the encryption, if you will, until they get a match. That's my understanding of what brute force is. But it's a matter of copying down the user data because of a vulnerability on the website.
What is the basis for your concern? And I think Gary probably has more insight on this. But has something been happening that you're concerned about?
No, mainly I pay some accounts online, and I was just wondering if somehow or another they got a hold of my username, and with my one account, I think you allow 6 attempts before you're locked.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the thing is, can a brute force attempt for so many thousands of possible combinations in that the password could not handle, that they could be overwhelmed, and somehow the correct password randomly selected could slip in and activate the account?
Gary, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so obviously, if you follow good password hygiene, that's going to help an awful lot. All right, so it's got to be more than 8 characters, upper and lower case, special characters, a number, no name, no word in any language. So that'll help. But then, change it every 90 days.
All right. You know what we're going to do when we come back? We're going to run through that a little more carefully for you so you can make some notes on that, Lynn, in just a moment. I'd like to thank Tom Baker, who's our engineer here, for handling this last hour and getting your calls on the air. And speaking of those, Leonard in Ann Arbor will be with you in just a minute. Let me also remind you that we've got time for a few more calls at 800-859-0957. Leonard, how may we help you this afternoon here on the Internet Advisor?
Well, thank you. I have a question for you. I recently purchased a refurbished HP computer.
Okay.
It is an HP 500. It's a mini tower dual core. It's like a business machine. It's for my church, okay?
Okay.
And I've been trying to install an HP printer today. It's an older printer, and the software with the printer is basically stopped at Windows HP. Okay, it's one of those PSC printer, scanner, and copier machine.
Okay.
Right. And now, how were you attempting to install it with the CDs that came with the...
Yes, I did. And the new machine is equipped with Windows 7 Professional.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it tried to do its best to work around installing the printer. As a matter of fact, it installed everything except the driver. It doesn't have the driver. Drivers are not compatible with the Series 1300 printer.
Now, Leonard, just let me back up a second. We're talking about two separate devices here. One is a computer, a desktop tower.
Well, yeah, he has a desktop tower.
Right. And then the other is a printer. Okay, right. Just to clarify
The simplest solution is, have you gone to HP's website, which is support...
HP.com.
Yeah, no, support.hp.com.
Well, the desktop is not connected to the internet, okay?
Oh, okay.
Now, I can do that with my tablet, but my concern is... everything was installed. It will not print. But for instance, the scanning feature, I was able to scan something through the printer and save it to the hard drive so I could go in and take a look at it. And I'm wondering if I can get on my tablet, mm-hmm, and go to the HP site and download a driver that will be compatible with this. With the Windows 7 Professional.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just, how would you get it from the tablet to the
to your tower?
I mean, unless you had a USB stick.
I would use a USB cord, okay, the same way I would connect my camera.
You should be able to.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you should certainly be able to do
and
that.
And then download that driver onto the... onto the Windows 7 Pro desktop, and maybe I could complete the installation that way.
You know, Leonard, we're going to have to hand out a Tech of the Day award to you. You've done your own troubleshooting, and I think you've got a very good idea, which is, and as you said, use your tablet to go to the support, what was it again,
support.hp.com,
right,
and then type in your, what is it, the PSC 1300 All-in-One Series. And for Windows.
And then it'll ask you what you want to download. And you could find, was it drivers on the red?
Yeah, but you know what? It looks like that, I'm just trying to see if they provide Windows 7 drivers, because this came out with Windows ME was the newest operating system.
Oh my.
So that's how old that particular printer may be.
Leonard, you may be as clever as your troubleshooting has been, and my hat's off to you on that.
Well, thank you. My concern is if the printer's too old to, to really be serviceable or be compatible with this, I'll just move on to something.
I think it sounds like that. And printers nowadays are, now you said this is more like a business printer?
It's a business desktop.
Oh, a business desktop. I see what you're saying. Well, the printers, and you're doing this for a church, so I'm going to guess maybe bulletins.
All I'm interested in is printing labels.
Then you can buy, guys, give me a hand. But I mean, like, for $75 to $100, you can get a printer that's perfectly capable of doing something like that, and a new...
He'd miss out on the challenge of getting this to work.
Well, I'm cheap, and I like reuse.
You go. Hey, you are a soul brother.
See?
Right, Ed?
Yes, he is. And Microsoft does provide updated software if it's the 1300 series PSC all-in-one unit. So they do provide Windows 7, and you should be able to download it. It looks like it's, 362 megabyte, but they do provide the software.
That's wonderful. This machine is powerful, and perhaps you can just clue me in on something else.
Mm-hmm.
This machine that I ordered, it's a dual-core processor.
Yes.
3 gigahertz with 4 gigabytes of memory. So it's adequate to do what I need.
Yes, it's not. Yeah, it's not Samson.
What this dual core business is?
Well, that was a phase where basically Intel and AMD, that's probably an Intel processor, were unable to shrink the circuitry on the chips anymore. So what they did is they just made the chips bigger and put multiple CPUs or computers on the same chip.
Right.
And the generation you're talking about, dual core, is that's probably at least 5 or 6 years old.
Yeah, at least.
And you'll find out if you go to the manufacturer's site, because now they have quad cores.
16 cores.
And 16 cores on a lot of these chips. You know, like yeah. I think Intel's current one is what, the i7 and i5.
Yeah.
And they're quad cores and multi-cores. But if you're just running this, and it should be more than fast enough for what you want to do.
Then what does the dual core aspect allow me to do? Can I run two different operations?
If it's a 16-bit, well, it really depends on who writes the software.
Yeah.
As Gary would say, you know, Windows 7 and Windows 8 and 10 had the ability to run. You could let one core run one program and another core run another program,
right,
and they should be able to run simultaneously. But you know what? It really depends who writes the code, writes the software.
Leonard, the music is telling us we're running out of time here.
Well, hey,
but my hat's off to you, buddy.
Very helpful, and I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and I think Ed has indeed found a soul brother out there in Ann Arbor. Good luck to you, Leonard. Gary, Captain Bly, have yourself a great evening cruise down at Fort Lauderdale aboard the Shared Adventure. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week again.
Sounds great.
All right,
take care. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right, that's Mr. Gary Baker down there. And Ed, thank you very much for being here with us as well.
I'm glad I interrupted my vacation to come here.
Tom Baker, thanks for engineering us. For the rest of you out there, thank you for joining us. Hey, just quickly, if you listened to our first hour, or if you didn't get a chance to listen to our first hour, Sunday night, I will post that. It's an excellent program about teen years, this combination of teens helping seniors. And if you'd like to pitch in.
You've been listening to the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally-produced computer show, with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and our team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to check the other great podcasts available on this PodcastDetroit.com network. Thank you for listening.